So if you've been anywhere lately in our fair city, you may have noticed that Christmas is coming. Christmas trees are up, lights are being strewn on houses, shopping is in full swing, the parking lots of the mall are packed already, and the world is getting ready to celebrate whatever it is that the world celebrates at this time of the year. But actually, in the church, we recognize we haven't even quite got to Advent yet, 4 weeks leading up to celebration of the Nativity of Jesus. This is the Sunday next before Advent. It is commonly known as Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ the King Sunday. And I think maybe in its wisdom, the church has ordained that we should celebrate Christ the King Sunday before we launch into high gear to celebrate Jesus coming into the world as a vulnerable, innocent, pure little fragile infant, that somehow we should celebrate immediately prior to getting ready for that. We should acknowledge that this infant, this tiny child born into the world, was not just a fragile, frail, little newborn child. That in fact, this child who was born in flesh in Jesus was the King of the universe, the Lord of all creation, the power through which all of existence came into being, that this Jesus who chose to take human form and to live among us as a person was in fact the reason, the power of all human existence and of all of creation. And so it's a kind of an attempt to sort of make sure that when we get to Christmas, we don't just sort of slip too easily into a kind of nice, sentimental sort of, ooh, isn't this sweet, babies, and we all love babies, and isn't this nice, and lose sight of the fact that when we speak about the nature of Jesus, we are speaking about the power of the universe. We are speaking about that force that created everything, that cast the stars out into space. We are speaking about that force that is the meaning, purpose, and direction of all human life and of all existence. But I want us to be careful about Christ the King Sunday. I want us to be careful about Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I want us to be cautious because it seems to me that in the current political climate in which we live, and probably actually all through human history, images of king and lordship have been somewhat risky. We tend to see king and lord purely and solely in terms of one person wielding enormous power over all others, a person who has the ability to exercise their will on the world, who has the ability to summon armies and summon all the power of creation to back up getting their way. We tend to think of kings as those who have the capacity to exert their will over other people. And Jesus was very clear that is not the kind of kingdom he embodied. When Jesus was confronted by Pilate, who embodied everything that the world understands as power, who was the one who had the power to summon great armies, who was the one who had the power to control Roman legions, to occupy foreign countries, to impose the will of the Roman Empire on those who were weak and unsuspecting. When Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews. Jesus appears at first to sort of duck the question, asking Pilate, do you ask this on your own or did others tell you about me? Pilate says, I don't know anything about your religious squabbles. What are you being accused of? What have you done? And then Jesus answers, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. The word from is the little Greek word ek, and it can mean either from or of, and both are good. The NRSV, which we read here in church, uses from. The English Standard Version, the New International Version use of. But both are really important. My kingdom, Jesus is saying, is not from this world. You can't create my kingdom. You, Pilate, you may be able to conquer nations. You may be able to occupy foreign territories, but you can't create my kingdom. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from your machinations. It doesn't come from your manipulations. It doesn't come from your armies, from your wealth, from your glamour. It comes from somewhere else. And furthermore, my kingdom is not of this world either. It's of a completely different nature. It's a completely different species of kingdom. The kingdoms that are from this world, the kingdoms we build as human beings, are kingdoms that are built usually to our glory. They're kingdoms that are built to use our means to manipulate the levers of power to get our way. Jesus' kingdom is not of that nature. Jesus' kingdom is not of the nature of power over, of manipulation, of his need to exert his will to get his way. It's a totally different kingdom. It's not of the nature of the kingdoms of this world. My kingdom, Jesus says, is not from here. It is not of here. But Jesus is very clear. He is a king. So what is the nature of Jesus' kingdom? The kingdom Jesus came to bring is the kingdom that was embodied in himself. So if you want to know what Jesus' kingdom was like, is like, you need to look at Jesus. Jesus describes himself rarely in the New Testament. But there is one place where he describes himself quite clearly. It's in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 11, in verse 29. Jesus says to his followers, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of gentleness and humility. The kingdom that Jesus came to bring is a kingdom that is exercised in the hearts of people who join him in those qualities of gentleness and humility. That's why Jesus responds to Pilate's first question with a question of his own. Pilate asks, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answers, do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? What do you answer? What do you answer on your own? What do you know to be deeply and absolutely true in your heart? Do you know the kingdom of Pilate? Do you know that I should get my way and life should conform to my will? Do you know that deep in your heart? Or do you know the kingdom of Jesus? A kingdom of gentleness. a kingdom of surrender, a kingdom of humility, a kingdom that lays down its life for the other, a kingdom that knows that this life was not created to march according to my drumbeat. The kingdom that knows I don't always get my way. And when I don't get my way, that is not a call to push harder and shout louder and demand more. It's a call to open more deeply, to soften, to see the reality of life as it is, and to allow that reality to break me open to deeper truth. Jesus says, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And then he says, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The problem with Jesus' kingdom is it doesn't shout. It doesn't demand. It doesn't press in on you. It waits. We're coming to Advent, the season of waiting. It comes gently and quietly and softly, like an infant. And if we're going to perceive that kingdom, it's only going to be as we choose to listen, as we choose to pay attention to that gentle, quiet nudging that is the voice of truth speaking in our hearts. And it's there. That truth exists in every living human being. We get so far away from it. We get so caught up in the kingdoms of this world that we lose our ability to hear gentleness. We lose our ability to perceive the presence of glory in the midst of humility, because we get so trapped in wanting power. We get so trapped in wanting glory. We get so trapped in wanting to make things work the way we want them to work, that we become incapable of opening to the truth that is at the center of the universe, which is that God's presence is known in love. God's presence is known in gentleness. God's presence is known by those who are humble enough to see themselves for who they truly are, to see honestly our human condition, the reality of our determination to exert our will over the world and to get people to meet our needs, and to see that, and seeing it, to step aside for a moment and to put down our will, to surrender our need for life to unfold according to our wishes, longings, and desires. And the thing that happens when we do that is that we find ourselves connected to love. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's the thing we need most of all, perhaps in these days leading up to Christmas. We need to find within ourselves that place of rest. But it doesn't come from running around and trying to tick off our to-do list. It comes from stopping and opening. I was reading at parish council the other night, a short passage from 1 Samuel. It's the story of Samuel's call from God, this little boy who is being raised up in the history of Israel in a time of turmoil and pain and suffering, a time of confusion and doubt, and a great deal of the confusion and the chaos in Israel has come from the fact that the priest, Eli, and his sons, the priestly class, are not doing their job. They're not doing their job because they're not listening to God. Samuel is asleep in the temple, and God calls Samuel, and he hears a voice, and he runs to to the priest Eli and says, "You called me, what do you want?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go away." Samuel goes and lies down again in the temple, hears the voice of God calling him a second time, runs to the priest Eli and says, "You called me, what is it you want?" And Eli says, I didn't call you, go away, lie down, you're interrupting my sleep, leave me alone." The third time, God calls Samuel. Samuel goes to the priest Eli and says, "You called me, what is it you want?" And finally, Eli gets it. And he says to Samuel, "Go and lie down. And when you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" That's really what we need to do over the next few weeks. Just lie down. Lie down. Not right now, but just lie down. Stop. Be still. In the midst of all the chaos of the next few weeks, in the midst of all the pressures, in the midst of all the parties, cooking, and all that great stuff, make sure you get a moment to lie down. And say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And if we do that, I think you will find that that kingdom of gentleness and humility for which our hearts long is born in our midst and lived in the world